Good morning. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we have together, Lord. And I do thank you that you make beautiful things. And so, Lord, I pray right now that you would make beautiful things out of our hearts right now, Lord, that you would prepare us, that you would open up our hearts and our minds, that you would make us mindful of who you are and who we are in you. I pray, Lord, for freedom this morning. I pray for freedom. Freedom from sin, freedom to know you, freedom to love others, Lord. I pray for all these things, Lord. I just pray right now that you just be with me right now, Lord. Help with the distractions that are going in my life and help me just to focus, Lord. And I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. So I want to just share some deep voice. I heard that's hearing aid, you know, I can hear certain things. But I just want to let you know that a lot of you have been praying for my stepmother. She is in the process of passing, and she's in hospice and is given about 5 to 7 days. And she has advanced pancreatic cancer. So she's a believer. She trusts in Christ, so I have no doubt in that. But I would ask you that you would pray for my family in Savannah, Georgia, and that I'll be flying out Friday to go back there and just to be with family and spend some time with them. And so over the next 3 weeks, Charlie and Pastor Neely will be doing the preaching, and so I would just encourage you to come out and support them. And I'm going to take time with family and a little vacation time with Sharon and me. So we kind of do that every year around this time. So just to let you know. And it's good to see my beautiful wife in the audience. You know something's up today because Sharon's sitting up here. So, and my mom and dad are here. I don't know what's going on, but there's something going on. So might be something to do with Sharon turning 50 tomorrow. But I don't know. Happy birthday. This morning I'm going to continue a sermon. Last week I preached on freedom, and I'm just kind of stuck on this idea of freedom, being free in Christ, who we are in Jesus, and that he doesn't want us strapped to sin, but he wants us to live free. And we don't talk a lot about it in church like we should. I just don't think we do. And so it's a theme that's been on me. And one of the things I was thinking, so if you have your Bibles, your app, whatever you look at, start looking at and reading Psalm 130, because that's going to be our text this morning that we're going to work from. And I love the psalmist. You know, there's a time in my life right now I'm kind of going through having a loved one, someone that I know and love is dying. And so, you know, this kind of, and this just listening to my brothers and sisters talking back there and trying to comfort them in the middle of this while I'm 3,000 miles away. You know, there's a lot of mixed emotions I have. And so struggling with these, I always find myself going back to the Psalms because the Psalms are all about that. And another thing is I just see people struggling with sin. I've struggled with sin. I see other people around me struggling with sin. And I can't help but see in the Psalms the same kind of thing. The same struggle that was going on 4,000 years ago is still going on today. I mean, we prayed this morning before service for the world. You know, there's just so much mess. And if you look around the world, a lot of the mess that's happening in the world is because of sin that's in the world. You know, and it's not just unbeliever sin, it's Christian sin. You know, we too, we should be the face and the hands and the mouth of Christ. And I just don't think we live up to that. So I just have a thought for you. Have you ever had to wait for something? Maybe it was something for, like, I think about Christmas. You know, a kid, you know, or maybe when you were a kid, some of you were a kid, I think. But you know, you waited for Christmas. You know, you would count down. Some people start in August, you know. Some in October, they start getting excited. But you knew it was coming. There was a time. Or maybe you've been at work sometime and you're just waiting for the day to get over. I don't know. You know, if you ever just sat there and looked at a clock. I mean, I was in security forces where a lot of my time was just sitting there waiting for time to end. You know, so I would just sit there for hours watching the clock. And it just seemed like that clock just went by so slow. But I was waiting and anticipating a time when it would be over, that I would be out of it, that I would be free of it. And that's what I was looking forward to it. We anticipate time and we expect something to happen. Whatever it is, we're watchful and we're longing for it to come to its end, its close, or whatever it is. But how about our freedom from sin? Do we long to be free in the same way? Do we look at it and anticipate the time when we will be free from it? Because I don't know about you, but sin kind of gums up the works for me sometimes in the way that I approach people and live my life. It just seems to encroach in the small ways and in big ways. It is there, but and it's in other people's lives. So it's like all of us are broken in some way, and we're trying to navigate this thing. And I long for the time when I'll be totally free and all my relationships will be free of it. I never have to think about it again. But I long to live in the joy of Christ, just to fully enjoy Him and to love Him and to know Him with everything, without anything in the way. I don't know if you think about it like that, but I do. And I hope that you do. I hope you start to think that way. Last week we talked about freedom in Christ and how God wants to set us free, and we used Psalm 107 as a backdrop. And in that we see that there's this picture painted about us being imprisoned by our sin, chained because of our rebellion against God. And we also learn that God hears the pleas of that person. And I love the stories of the Bible, because even in the Psalm today, God is always the hero. He's the one who's coming in to rescue. You know, we're always the one who's in this position, and He comes and helps us. And in this psalm, we see this plea for help, and He comes in and saves them. He breaks them out of their distress, and He brings us out of the darkness and gloom. That's in Psalm 107, what it talks about. And he talks about how He breaks our chains apart. And I can't help but to think about Jesus Christ, that He came. And remember when He started His ministry, He said, "I came to set the captives free, to give sight to the blind, to heal the brokenhearted." And He came for that person, for that purpose, to free us so that we don't have to live in sin. I believe Jesus wants us free from our sin. And it may be not totally, we can never be totally free from it, but we can be free from the dominion of sin. We can be free from having sin controlling our lives. I'm not saying we won't stumble, but sin in no way is to control our lives as Christians, not as believers. I believe that. I believe that He went to great lengths to bring our freedom. And I know that He doesn't want us to continue in sin. And I say this with confidence because I see it over and over in Scripture. And I also see it in the lives of believers. I see it in my own struggle. Because if you're really struggling with sin, I mean, it's just proof to me that God doesn't want it in your life. And that He's fighting with you. He wants you to be free of it. I cannot help but to feel that the church, our church, the church in general, is being held back because of sin and our compromise with it. Because I think sometimes we get to the point where we think we just can't be free, that there's no way. And so we just learn to live with it. And I don't think that's what God wants. And I think a lot of it has to do because we don't have a right perspective about what sin is and how it impacts us. So this morning I want to look at Psalm 130. I want you to see the way the writer views his sin, the way the writer views his sin, and how he's waiting for redemption. He's waiting for it. He is longing to be free from the debt of sin, and he places all of his hope in the Lord, who offers redemption in abundance. So what I love about the Psalms, you always see it goes into the depths of despair, but you see it always right out in their trusting in the Lord, because they know that's where it has to end, because it can't end in yourself. It has to end in God. And I realize this isn't a popular subject, but I truly believe that you cannot grow and mature until you are serious about sin and how it keeps you from growing in Christ. Because my goal as a pastor is to see everyone who is under my shepherd, my flock. I don't like using that term, but it just sounds weird. But who's under my care as a leader here at the church. I think all of the leaders here at this church want to see all the believers here mature in Christ, to reach their full measure, as it says in Ephesians, of maturity. To stand up, to defend yourself, to be able to live out your faith joyfully, and to bring others along with you. That's what we want to see. But understand this one thing about sin. Sin will never allow you to fully experience the joy of your salvation. It will never allow you to have that. Sin will never allow you to know the depths of God's love, grace, and mercy. Sin will, however, this is what sin will do, though. Sin will keep you joyless, powerless, defeated, bitter, longing, and isolated. I promise you that. It will always do that. It's good at that. And it keeps you isolated from God and isolated from truly loving others around you. So if you find yourself disconnected from God, you're definitely probably first feeling it, disconnect from the people around you. Because sin will not allow you to build into relationships around you. It just doesn't happen. And it definitely doesn't happen this way. So this morning's message is awaiting freedom. And I hope you will see this morning how wonderful God is and that he wants you to live in freedom, experiencing his love, knowing his grace, and enjoying his joy. But most of all, I pray that you'd be filled with hope that no matter what thing, that whatever sin that you're struggling with, God wants to set you free. He wants you to be free. And so let's read the Psalm. Psalm 130 says this. And I'm reading out of the Christian Standard Bible. And it says, out of the depths I call you, Lord. Lord, listen to my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for help. Lord, if you kept an account of my iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that you may be revered. I wait for you, Lord. I wait, and I put my hope in your word. I wait for the Lord more than a watchman for the morning, more than a watchman for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for there is faithful love with the Lord, and with him is redemption in abundance. And he will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. That's beautiful, huh? I mean, there's hope. There's despair there, and there's hope there. There's despair and there's hope. When we see the psalmist here, he is waiting for the Lord to answer him. He is waiting for the Lord to rescue him. He is in despair over his sin. He is not compromising with it. It is tearing him up. He's despair and he's in anguish and he cries out to God. I don't know if you've ever been in that position where you just have something that has such a hold on you that you just want to be free from it and you verbalize it. You say, Lord, I just want to be free with this. I just want to be gone with this. I just want this over with. However it is that you can do it, Lord, I'm ready to be set free. I can hear that cry and you can hear it in there. He is praying out loud and he's asking the Lord to hear him. He's crying out for help. He has hit rock bottom and he knows his need. See, I think that's all part of it. This whole thing is to get to a point where you realize that you need help. That you can't get out on your own. You can't figure it out. I don't know if you've ever been that. There's been times like when I was losing my house, I can remember like it's amazing how you try to figure out every way possible to keep it. And then you just come to a point where you realize there is nothing you can do. And you what? You get down on your knees and say, I remember Sharon and me getting down on our knees in our room. Is like, Lord, whatever you want is yours. Because there's no out. Whatever you do. You know, and God answered that. We short sailed like in 3 months. It was gone. And he freed us from it. But it's amazing that what got me, what I hope you understand is this. I tried a lot to figure it out on my own before I finally realized God was the only one that's going to help us. Amen. And how many times in life do we have to go through things? I mean, I just think about all the struggle we go through if we just would get on our knees first. It would save us a lot of anguish. But we have to go through these processes, don't we? Because we got to learn how to trust on God. And this morning, I just want you to know, wonder if you've reached a point where you're desperate to be free. I mean, I hope right now that God is pressing something upon your heart, and I hope that you're thinking right now, do I really want to be free of this, or am I okay with this in my life? Because that's a big question. Do you feel the weight of your sin? Doesn't matter what it is. Because it can be a little one. Sin is sin. It can be a little one or a big one. And the question I wanted you to think about right now is, does your sin trouble you? Now, you might be sitting there thinking, I'm a good person. I'm a good person. I don't have any real issues. Right? I mean, I don't have any grievous sin in my life, right? You might even right now be thinking about someone who is actually a real sinner, right? Because that's what we do in our mind. It's how it works. It goes, you know, I'm not like that person. I'm not that bad. That guy, though, whoo, he's got issues, right? I'm going to warn you, that is a slippery lie that will keep you in bondage. Because that's the Satan's way of just getting you to not look at your own sin anymore and to look at someone else's. And you know what it does? It keeps you where you're at. It doesn't let you be free. It keeps you in bondage. But you feel good about it. You see, that's why it's so dangerous. Because you feel good about it. God wants you to recognize your sin and your need from him. And he wants you to know that he is the only way of salvation. He is the only one who can set you free. And he wants you to be free to be who he made you to be. Not who you want to be, but to be who he made you to be. And the psalmist recognizes this. He realizes this. And he says that he realizes that if God kept accounts of iniquities, we could never stand a chance with God in his justice. Because he sees that only God can set him free. And he's thinking, man, if he kept a record of everything, I would be in so much trouble. Who could stand that? Because he's a just God. And if he's got a note on everything I've ever done, and he's keeping watch over it, just waiting for the day to drop that on my head, I'm in trouble, right? But the amazing thing is that God provides a way because, you know, he's not going to violate his nature of character because he is righteous and he is just, but he's also loving. And what's the amazing thing is that God provides a way to both demonstrate his righteousness and his love. And he never has to violate his character. God holds our sin accountable while leaving us a way for forgiveness. And he did this through the life and death of his son, Jesus Christ. I think that's amazing because he never violates who he is or compromises anything about him. And he does it through his son who paid our debt and he defeated sin once and for all, and alone in him we find forgiveness and freedom. In Christ Jesus. That's why Jesus is so important. Here's why this is so important for you to recognize, that you understand just how far away your sin has removed you from God and what lengths that he went to. Because our sin didn't separate us a little bit from God's perfection. It separated us in a way that we can't even imagine. I don't even think we can comprehend. You know, one of the things that Charlie and me have talked about, he always says one of the things that he thinks, or thinks when you get to heaven, one of the first things you're going to realize is just how far your sin separated you from God. That at that moment, because we don't really understand it, but there, that moment, we'll understand the lengths of what God went through to bring us into relationship with him. But the psalmist here talks about it. He says, if you look, he says, but with you there is forgiveness so that you may be revered. See, there's something there when we look at God and we see the lengths that he went through, everything that he did for us, and how he forgives us. It leads us to reverence. Because how can you not worship a God who went to such great lengths to free you from your sin? I mean, he is the only one who is worthy of our worship and our praise because of what he's done. When we realize the great lengths that God went to for us to have a right relationship, when we see and recognize our sin and how far God has brought us, it should greatly humble us. And when we think about this, it should truly land on us and humble us in a way and move us to worship. That's the worship in spirit and truth, is to know who God is and who you are and who and what he's done for you. Amen. It should lead your heart to worship. I think about the song, The Wondrous Cross. In its words, this is what it says. It says, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and the poor contempt, I pour contempt on all my pride. See, from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did ever such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? O wonderful cross, O the wonderful cross, bid me come and die and find that I may truly live. O the wondrous, wonderful cross, O the wonderful cross. All who gather here by grace drawn near and bless your name. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. That's somebody who's recognized what Jesus has done for them, that he has freed them, and he sees and worships. It led him to worship, to write that song. Understanding God's forgiveness moves us to worship, and we're living for his glory. When we finally see and we long for that, we should long for this in our hearts, like the psalmist says, like a watchman waiting for the night to end. A watchman waiting, expecting the sun to come up and push away the darkness. I can tell you, I was one of those watchmen on the walls in the middle of the night, waiting for the night to end. I can tell you the hours I spent longing for light. Because you know what? Nothing good happens at night. You can't see, and the enemy can move around. And you can't see him. And at dusk is the worst time. You know, because you might be, we would do a theme where you said stand one or stand two. You know, you in the middle of the night, you could stand one and one guy could sleep. But when the light would start to come, you stood too. That means everybody's standing. Two men in a hole, two men standing. You know why? Because at dusk, just at the beginning of light, is when the enemy attacks. Because the sun is in your eyes. You can't really see. Everything's kind of a mess. And so the watchman, he waits for the sun to rise. He can't wait for it to be up. Because once it's up, then he can see. And the enemy is not going to attack you in the middle of the day because he'll lose. And so how we are, we should wait expectantly for God to come like a watchman waiting in the night to be free of our sin, to be watching for it, longing for the day that God sets us free, that we can be free. In the depth of despair, the psalmist places his hope in God, and he takes the promise of God's word, knowing that God is there and he is not silent. We are to wait expectantly. That's the picture of the watchman. He is waiting, expecting. Because you know what he's expecting? The sun to rise, because it rises every day, right? It's always rising. And so we should have the same kind of expectantly, knowing that God is going to answer our prayers. He's going to come because he's always come. And so maybe right now I'm in the dark of despair. Maybe something's got a hold of me. But I'm holding on to that hope and knowing that Christ is coming. God is coming. And he is going to set me free. And I'm like a watchman on the wall, watching for him, longing for him. And God is faithful. We wait in our darkest moments, clinging to the promises of God, whatever that is, knowing that God is faithful and that he'll carry out all his promises faithfully. There is not a person on the planet that can carry out all our promises faithfully. There is, but God is the only one who does. And we have confidence because God has proven it over and over again. We have a Bible here of testimonies that show God fulfilling his promises over and over and over again. We have a history that demonstrates his faithfulness to all, for all that can see. All the promises of God, the Bible says, are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. In Jesus, we have redemption from all our sins in abundance. He came to set us free. He wants us to be free from our chains. And he wants to lead us into the promised land of freedom. He wants that for you more than anything. We need to see our sin for what it is. It is slavery. And God wants us to be free. Then the only one, repentance, is turning from our sin and turning to the only one who can free us. Let Christ set you free this morning. Whatever it is that you're struggling with this morning, I would pray that you would turn to Christ and you would ask for him to free you. To free you. And I would pray right now that you would pray that expecting to be set free. Expecting it. Waiting for it. Robert Murray McChaney, he lived from 1813 to 1843. So this is a long time ago. But I love what how he sees this. And just listen to his words when he talks about Christ and being free. And how Christ, when he fills our lives, doesn't leave room for sin and folly, he calls it. Here's what he said. He said, "The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked, and who can know it?" That is in Jeremiah 17:9. So he's quoting directly from Scripture. And we all know all our hearts are desperately wicked. Because it's just the way we are. We're all broken. "Learn much of the Lord Jesus," he says. "For every look at yourself," now listen to this, "for every look at yourself, take 10 looks at Christ." For every look to yourself, take 10 looks at Christ. He is altogether lovely. Such infinite majesty, and yet such meekness and grace, and all for sinners, even the chief. Live much in the smiles of God. Bask in his beams. Feel his all-seeing eye settle on you in love. And respond to his almighty arms. Let your soul be filled and your heart ravished. Be filled with the sweetness and excellency of Christ and all that is in him. Let the Holy Spirit fill every chamber of your heart so that there is no room for folly or the world or Satan or the flesh. I love that. That's a man who sought after God and who looks to fill his life with Christ in every way, shape, and form. So there's no room for anything else. That's someone who knows the joy of Christ. Doesn't mean that he didn't suffer. I guarantee you he did, if you read his life story. But how about you? Where are you at this morning? What sin has weighed you down that you're just tired of it and that you want to be free of it? I'm going to ask you this morning to turn to Psalm 130 and just read it again and put your trust in Jesus Christ, who came and died and lived a perfect life. Lived the life you and I could never live, and sacrifice that life, that sinless life upon the cross. He took our place and he was buried, and on the third day he rose again. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is a fact in history. It happened. And it happened so that God could set you free. And that you could live a life of joy. Doesn't mean that you won't have sorrow. Doesn't mean cancer still won't come into your life and those things won't be there. But you can go through them with joy in your heart because you know God is there. He is with you in the midst of that. And one day, he's going to wipe every tear from every eye. And there will be no more pain, no more death. For the old things have passed away, and a new has come. And that's what I put my faith and my hope in. But I know even right now, Christ wants you. This isn't just some distant thing that's going to happen in the future. He wants you free now. And he wants you to live abundantly now, because you know what's at risk? People knowing Jesus. That's what's at risk. Because if you're in your sin and you're stuck, you cannot and will not share Christ with anybody. Because Satan's got your mouth shut because of what you're struggling with. So I want you to be free this morning to live for Christ. Amen. Amen? So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you right now that we can just come into your presence, Lord. And I know this is weighty. And I know someone in this room right now, I hope all of us, Lord, are being mindful of the sin that we have in our lives. And I pray right now, Lord, as you press these things upon our mind and heart, as we prepare ourselves for the Lord's Supper, I pray for all the believers in the room would be confessional. I pray right now that they would start to confess those sins they struggle with, and they would turn to you. I also pray, Lord, for somebody in the room that doesn't know you, you would start to work in their hearts, and you would turn their hearts right now to you, that, Lord, they would see their need for you, and that they would turn to you for help. And Lord, I pray that you would just fill every chamber of their heart with your presence. And Lord, I pray you would save them. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.